This is Weirdly Enough, your regular podcast for strange stories and amazing facts, delivered straight to your favorite podcast directory and at weirdlyenough.com. Now, here are your hosts, Andy and Len.
Yeah, so we've been off, weirdly enough, for a bit of time. I was unwell and unfortunately weren't able to broadcast, but we're back again now. And just before I turned unwell, I'd had a little trip to Liverpool. And I did all the touristy things that you do in Liverpool, which is all about the Beatles and going and seeing that. It's a great city to visit, very vibrant city. But my goodness, the English love their drink. They say the Irish drink. No, seriously, they're on the floor at like 3 in the afternoon. What is wrong with you? But anyway, we had a great time. I'm saying here, it's the first time I've really spent time in Liverpool. I was really impressed. It's a vibrant and busy city, and the people are very welcoming. You can't get away from Beatles stuff when you're in Liverpool. Legacy of the Beatles are everywhere. So thankfully I'm a wee bit of a fan of the Fab Four, so it's not a big thing for me. But I imagine if you don't like them.
Yeah.
And what must be really galling is if you're a Liverpoolian and you don't like them.
But it'd be like a it'd be like a Scouser that didn't like football.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's imbibed with your mother's milk.
Well, I got in the taxi to go back to the airport, and the guy was like, "Yeah, the Beatles stuff." Yeah, yeah.
Was he a Scouser though?
Yeah, yeah.
But he must love the Beatles.
Yeah, we got on to talking about football.
Was he the blue half of Liverpool or the red half?
I'm not sure. I think he was blue, red. Sorry, yeah, red. So I stayed in a hotel called Hard Day's Night, which is literally round the corner from the world famous Cavern Club. You don't even have to cross a road to get to the Cavern. I guess the Beatles would be the biggest group in the world of all time. As someone said to me, we all know the names John, Paul, George and Ringo years after they finished recording, and it's probably safe to say that even in 100 years, people still know those names. It's like Elvis. It's going to go down forever. They're going to be famous. We did cover Paul is Dead back in November. You can go to weirdlyenough.com to take a trip back to that episode. Of course, with something as famous and talked about as the Beatles, it's not hard to come up with weird and wonderful theories about every aspect of their lives. But I guess the main thing to remember is that these were four ordinary lads from working class backgrounds in post-war Northern England. One weird story I like is Eleanor Rigby. The song was released as a double A single along with Yellow Submarine in 1966. And it was part of the Revolver album. It spent 4 weeks at the top of the UK singles charts. The song is a lament for the lonely in post-war Britain, telling the story of a church caretaker who died in a church and was buried along with her name. Now, John Lennon and Paul McCartney met in a church fete at St. Peter's Church in Walton in Liverpool in 1957. Just yards from that church hall is a graveyard, and 3 rows back from the road is a very special gravestone. Or rather, some people think it's special. It's the family grave of John Rigby, and about halfway down the grave, it's mentioned the name Eleanor Rigby in quite large letters. Eleanor died in October 39, just 9 years before McCartney would pen the famous chart-topping song. So is this where McCartney got the inspiration for the name, or is it just a wild coincidence? Well, it's tempting to think that Lennon and McCartney leaned on the graveyard wall reading the tombstones. It sounds like it wasn't the case. Paul McCartney himself denies that there was any inspiration from reading the graves, and in fact, the existence of the grave only came to light in the 1980s, though it hasn't stopped deeds for the grave being listed on an auction with a guide price of $4,000, just the deeds, just the paperwork for them. McCartney told Donovan that the first name of the character in the song was to be Daisy Hawkins, but then he changed it to Eleanor, after the famous actress who starred in the film Help, called Eleanor Braun. Spencer Lee, author of the Beatles book Love Me Do to Love Me Don't, said that at one stage the surname was going to be Bygraves, but then McCartney changed it to Rigby after seeing a famous shop in Bristol called Rigby and Evans Limited. Paul said he just liked the name Eleanor Rigby. It sounded natural. It's possible, though, that the name filtered into Paul's brain on a subconscious level. It's possible he read the name and was it was stored away for later use. So, yeah, I kind of think maybe it was subconscious because you're standing talking to your mate and you're reading names and you don't think about them. But, yeah, maybe they go in there. The rather spooky thing is that Eleanor Rigby, much like the carrier, the character, was a scullery maid, so it fitted well, whatever the reason. The song always featured life in Liverpool and always sums up what it was like growing up in this changing post-war world. Another character mentioned in the song is Father McKenzie. It was originally going to be Father McCartney, but Paul worried that people would think that this was the real father, this was his real father, so changed the name to McKenzie. One account has McCartney thumbing through a telephone directory and coming up with the name at random, but another one is a Second World War veteran called Uncle Charlie Lennon, a friend of Uncle Charlie Lennon called Tommy McKenzie. Tommy also compared the five shows that the band played at Northwich Memorial Hall in 62 to 63, so it's possible that this is where they got the name from. Now, of course, there's loads of strange stories about other aspects of the Fab Four. These include the spooky connection John Lennon has to the number 9. He was born on the 9th of October, lived at 9 Newcastle Road, was in the Beatles for 9 years, and of course was murdered on 9th Avenue.
Can I just interrupt?
Yes, please do.
Jimmer and we did Paul's dad.
Yes.
Paul allegedly died on 9th of November.
Right.
1966. Just saying.
Also, Lennon apparently was visited by aliens. The first time was in 1974 during a time that he had separated from Yoko Ono and was living with his new girlfriend, May Pang. Lennon was apparently compelled to look out of the apartment window where he saw a flying saucer hovering no more than 100 feet away. Pang and Lennon both took photos of the craft, but the photos showed nothing. Another time, according to Yuri Geller, happened in New York City when Lennon was visited by 4 small aliens who were waiting for him outside of his bedroom door. He was blocked from chasing them away, apparently by mind control. Lennon woke up next to Yoko, but holding a strange egg-shaped object, which was believed to be a gift from the visitors.
Interesting.
He eventually gave the object to Yuri Geller, who started to show the object off following Lennon's death. So this Yuri Geller's got this egg-shaped alien object.
Interesting.
An artifact. Quite strange.
Very interesting.
So, you know, I'm sure we could go on for hours about strange things to do with the Beatles and coincidences and things like that, but those are my favourite ones that I picked out anyway.
There's a thing about Liverpool. There's a lot of UFO activity in Liverpool. It's notorious for time slips.
You've got the Broad Street. Is that the street? Bold Street?
It's like sort of a hotbed of like
the
time slip. The other thing, there's a thing I want to do sometime, maybe in weirdly enough, where apparently there was a panic in the 50s or the 60s over leprechauns.
Right.
And these kids reported saying leprechauns, and then suddenly all these kids and the panic reported saying little green men, little leprechauns.
Yeah.
And it became a whole thing around Liverpool.
Right.
And people think, well, it could actually have been little aliens.
Oh, right.
But because of the Irish influence in Liverpool, they perceived them as little leprechauns.
Yeah.
You know, the little green man. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff to do with Liverpool, like, you know.
Bold Street's a crazy street. It's very, very busy and lots of, like, lots of restaurants and bars and things along. Yeah. It's a good place to visit. But I would keep my hand in my wallet.
Scalcy.
Yes. So, yeah, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week. What's it all about, Alfie?
Rounding it off with an old one, but a good one. Nostradamus.
Nostradamus. Very good. I can't wait to hear that. All those crazy predictions. That will be our last episode of Series 4 when we record that. But fret not. Remember, you can go to weirdlyenough.com or wherever you get your podcasts to get our entire archive for free. So please do check that out. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Weirdly Enough. Remember to subscribe to get the latest edition as soon as it drops.
And don't forget to leave a review. Email us about anything we've discussed or with your own weird tale at podcast@weirdlyenough.com.